Hi, this is Amrita Sukumar, and I'm bringing to you this podcast called Unsettling. Look around you. Everyone is trying to create their own story. Make a tiny change in someone's life by just following their passion, and in turn, inspiring the others to follow suit. This podcast brings to you stories of people who have defied the definition of settled set by the society and have created their own. They have found happiness in their version of settling.
Yours.
From the world of unsettling, I'm bringing to you today's guest who has always treated his failures as stepping stones to success. From being a shy, underconfident child to transforming into a person who runs his own firm, Digital Dukandar, he has come a long way. His journey will inspire you to find your strengths and work towards building your future, because it is never too late to follow your dreams. So let me welcome today's guest, Mr. Nishkarsh Sharma. Hi, Nishkarsh, how are you?
Hey, guys. Hi. Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure.
I'm really excited to talk to you. And I have one question to ask you. So Nishkarsh, considering your trajectory that your career has taken, I wanted to know, as a child, what was your answer to the question, what do you want to do when you grow up?
So when I got mature enough to understand that, okay, after some time I'll have to actually do something to make money. At that point of time, I wanted to become an engineer, quite honestly. And okay. Because one of my cousin brothers, the eldest cousin in my family, he became an engineer. And my parents used to tell me, "Dekho wo Dubai gaya, he's born to Dubai. He makes this much amount of money. Now he's also getting married in a couple of years. He has a girlfriend." So that used to be like the cool thingy for me back then. So yeah, I was like, I'm going to become a computer engineer. That's what I had. Yeah.
Okay. That's quite interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought you must have had a different mindset altogether, and now you came to this. Because I have seen your blog as well. You know, I read the blog and it is called How to Rule Online, if I'm not wrong. So
yeah, you've gone really deep. You've gone really, really deep. Yes, yes, yes. Nice.
So, I mean, you started this in college. And the blogs are about online marketing and SEO. So I have one question for you. What drew you to digital marketing at an age where most of us were trying to submit our assignments?
Nice question. So back then, I'll tell you, I got into college. It was my first year. And like I said, when I was in school, we did not really have a lot of, we used to have a lot of financial issues while I was growing up. My family did. So money was always very important. So even when I was in school, I used to try and figure ways out to make money from somewhere, ki kuch kar leta hun, something, or just ask for parents for money and sorts, ki I'll do this, give me this much, blah, blah. So, but clear that, okay, I'm going to become an engineer, then I'll get then I'll go away for an MBA, then I'll get a good job, and then I'll become the CEO of a brand. Like, this is the mindset that I had before college. Yeah. So I started really hard, got into engineering. My college was from Delhi itself. After I got into college, I realized this is not even close to what I thought it would be. Like, because you pretty much have to study a lot more, and then even the college placements, they hardly give you anything. And then you're going to be treated like you're going to have no identity or nothing. That's when I realized, so I really want to be doing something to make money, because this is not what I can't do. And money, I really want to be making money from somewhere. I went to Google, I searched for how to make money online. And from there, I got to know that, okay, there are some people who are making a lot of money blogging. So that's where I signed up for a course, found someone, he had a course. And then I started my first blog, How to Rule Online, because I thought mujhe kuch aata toh hai nahi online marketing ke baare mein. I don't really know anything about online marketing, but whatever I learn, I'll keep sharing and I'll teach people how to rule, online. So that's how it all started.
Oh, I thought you did a lot of research and then you tried it out, tried and tested the kind of blog, but then quite interesting that you started there.
Yeah.
And you've also written a book, if I'm not wrong, which is called Career Success Blueprint. So do you think that there's a blueprint to success?
So I wrote this book when I was trying to make money. I mean, for 3 years, 2012, 12, 13, 14. These 3 years, I had tried a lot of different kinds of ways to, make some money online, but it did not really work, not even a single penny. So I met someone in at the end of 2014 who was making money by publishing books on Amazon Kindle. So he was like, what you want to do is you want to write a book and we're going to market it this way and we're going to make it a bestseller this way. And then you can, you'll start generating passive income from there. So I was like, so, and at that point of time, you would write about something that you know about. So in my college, I was very active in internships. From my second semester, third semester, I started doing a lot of internships, marketing, sales, network marketing, you know, travel, hospitality, all those kinds of internships. So I realized that at least after doing so many internships, I know that I don't want to go for a job, or I mean, I don't want to go into the engineering direction. And I know that, you know, I want to do something which is more on the managerial level, something of that sort. So yeah, back then internships really helped me identify that what I should be doing, and at least the direction that I should be going in. So that's what I shared in this book, that do internships. This is how you crack interviews. This is how you find people. This is how you make more money doing internships, because I was making money from these internships. So yeah, at least while in college, yes, it can help you identify direction, but I don't think so that, you know, career can have a very set and proven blueprint. I don't think so.
That's true. But the point is that internships are not sold to us when we are in college. And it is so important to go out there and do different things, because what happens is we tend to get stuck in the same loop that everyone is doing. And then when you go out there, you realize that, hey, this was not what I was meant to do. And then you start figuring out life. And then that takes another 3 to 4 years of your life, which is okay. It's not bad. But then it is not sold well in the college. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Plus one on whatever you're saying. Yep.
Okay. So can you tell the listeners about your journey of starting Digital Dukandar?
Yeah. So we got started. We went full-time into entrepreneurship in 2015 for the next 1.5 years. And we had some couple lakh rupees, all four partners, four people. We had some couple lakh rupees to spend in the business. And we thought that we'll make it work. So we tried every possible thing out there. Even after having someone who was really skilled, I mean, all of us had some set of skills and we were really confident, but in 1.5 years, we went bankrupt. We had no money left. Then we had to take two loans because we owed some money to our team and owed some money to, you know, the people, the apps and subscriptions and all of that. So we took two loans and then our company also split up there because things were not working out. At that point of time, before that, somewhere around that, we started an animation video company. We made it work. We started teaching people how to build animation video businesses. Then I was like, I don't want to be doing animation videos and running an agency. It does not really set my soul on fire, let's say, or it does not really make me feel really, you know, it does not make me that happy. So I was like, I'm going to get into something that's going to be more exciting and more challenging. So I got into e-com in 2017. I got to know about e-com through a friend who was doing it. So got to know about it, started e-com in 2017. We had really good success. 2017 was very good for us. So from that point on till this point on, we've done really well in our own e-commerce stores. And I've always had a thing for coaching and training. I used to give tuitions when I was in college. I used to teach my classmates when I was in school. So I always had that thing. So I thought that when I was growing up, I mean, when I was growing up in my online digital journey, I used to see so many YouTube videos. I used to sign up for so many courses, and then they really helped me learn a lot of things. So I was like, let's get into that. So we started coaching people first in US on building e-commerce businesses. We pretty much used to share with them what's worked for us. People started getting success. Then we thought, let's do it in India. So in 2018, the end of last quarter of 2018, the month was September. So technically, so in September, we started Digital Dukandar in 2018. And the idea was that we're going to help people here in India start growing scale international e-commerce businesses. And from that point on till this point on, we've grown to, we've trained more than 15,000 people through our programs and courses. And our Digital Dukandars, I mean, Digital Dukandars are people, you know, who are a part of our programs, a part of the family. So our top Digital Dukandars have done more than $2.5 million in sales combined. Like the top 10, 15 guys have done this much. And then there are, we've not even calculated what everyone has done, because that was a lot of work for me to do. So just figured out, like this is pretty, pretty nice. So that's what we do. We help people go from zero to starting and growing and scaling their e-commerce, international e-commerce businesses, like we've done it for ourselves.
Oh, that's quite interesting. I've read about it definitely. And it's a new concept for me as well. Nobody around here knows what dropshipping is or what an e-commerce website is apart from where you go and shop. That's also something new that is coming up. So what does, if you don't mind, can you just explain what dropshipping means to the listeners?
Yeah, why would I mind? Definitely. So dropshipping is an e-commerce based business model wherein you run an e-commerce business without owning the product. That's what dropshipping is. Mm-hmm. Like, just to give you an example, let's say I want to start selling glasses, okay? Mm-hmm. But I don't really have a factory. I don't really have money to stock hundreds of glasses. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find someone mm-hmm. who's selling glasses, someone online, like on mm-hmm. IndiaMart or AliExpress, eBay, wherever. I'm going to find someone selling them. I'm going to download the images of the product. I'm going to copy the description and details. Mm-hmm. And then I'll upload the glasses on my own website for a higher cost. So if right. someone's selling it for 100, I'm going to sell it for like 300, let's say. Mm-hmm. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to send traffic to my own website, to this Glasswala product page. And then whenever someone buys from me, I'm going to pay the money to the original supplier of this. Right. I will give him my customer's address so that the supplier ships the product directly to my customer, and the supplier is happy, I'm happy. And I'm going to let the supplier know that, you know, don't add any branding because I'm actually dropshipping, or I'm actually, you know, trading, or I'm selling your product for adding my own markup fee to my customers. And right. I would love to give you more business in the future. So that's the simple, you know, dropshipping concept. And a lot of people do it. It's been going on for centuries.
Yeah, but it's still new for a layman. I mean, I wouldn't know it unless mm-hmm. I researched about it, which I recently did. So this okay. is fairly new for me. And you have mentioned in one of your interviews that a product that is sold on an e-commerce website can be available at a lower price on some other platform as well. So how do you make sure that the traffic comes to your website?
Nice question. So the way that we send traffic to our sites is through Facebook advertising mostly. Right. So when you're running Facebook ads, no, people are not really looking for those products, but you run the ads in a way that you know that these people might love or be passionate about it. Like, just to give you an example, let's imagine this was a sunglass. Let's say this is a pair of sunglasses. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run Facebook ads in a way that I only target people who follow brands like Ray-Ban, or who follow brands that are, you know, that are pretty like Lenskart, or brands that are pretty much into sunglasses, Ray-Ban or whatever the big brands out there are. So when these people are scrolling their feed and they see this ad from me that, okay, this guy is selling sunglasses and it looks really good. So I'm a huge sunglass fan. I'm going to go and maybe I'm going to place an order there. So when you do this, that person is not looking for that product, but you're marketing in a way using Facebook advertising that, you know, this person has interest in products like these. He's done business with the other brands, let's say, or he's a fan of these big brands that are already out there. So when that happens, people don't really have the time to go and compare and see ye kahin aur hai ya nahi hai. They make impulsive buying decisions, and then that's how they get to know about you, and that's where your store journey begins.
Interesting. But then you know, isn't there some kind of trust factor that is involved? Because if I come to your website, I want to make sure that it is something that I can trust and I can spend money on this before I buy a product. So how do you make sure that this kind of service is provided, that people trust you?
Nice question. It all depends on how well your website looks. First of all, your website needs to be simple, professional, clean. Right. You want to have a refund policy. Mm-hmm. If you're doing this in India, people would not trust you from day one. They would select cash and delivery all the time, right. Because they know that, okay, I'll select COD. If I get the product, great. If I don't, that's fine. I'm not losing anything. Abroad, because the stores that we've built, they've mostly been for abroad. Abroad, mein kya hota hai? Their credit law, their payment laws are so strong that if they pay me something and I don't ship it, and they can prove it to their credit card company, there's something called a chargeback that they can file, a chargeback or a dispute that they can file. Uh-huh. Kya hoga? If they can prove that the product, they paid me money, but I've not shipped it, they can get their money back.
Oh.
So that money is going to be, refunded back from my payment gateway or from whatever payment solution I'm using. So these people are also safe that, okay, you know, worst to worst, if this guy does not ship me the product, then that's fine. I mean, I'm going to get my money back. So in that way, they don't really have an issue with that because they trust their government. They trust the payment gateway because we use PayPal. PayPal is highly trusted outside. Yeah. So they use PayPal for it. So they're okay with that. I used to think the same way that why would someone buy from me? No one knows about me. I'm a new brand. I don't even have 10 likes on my Facebook page. But then I realized that everyone starts somewhere. And people are like, fine, you know, they already shop online. They don't mind experimenting. And if they like it, great. You have a customer for life. If in case you serve them that.
Nice. It's quite interesting because, I have got a lot of distrust when it comes to online shopping, but I'm glad that there are people who are experimenting as well. And as you said, it is very important that the website shows trust. if it is very clean and professional, and the user interface is very accessible to people, I think people might shop really easily.
Correct.
So who keeps an inventory of the product available? Is it the person who owns the website or the person who is the vendor?
The vendor. So the vendor. It's always going to be the vendor. So in our business, we sell apparel. By apparel, I mean t-shirts. Anything that's related to print, those are the kind of products that we sell. And that's exactly what we teach in our community as well. So let's say the vendor is going to stock a lot of plain t-shirts.
Right.
And he's going to have a printing setup, like a screen print or whatever. He's going to have a printing setup.
Right.
So whenever you get a sale, you just give him the design file. He will print it on the t-shirt and ship it for you. So in this model, that's how it works. In some cases, when you're selling physical products like, you know, like this or any gadget or whatever, then yes, they're going to have some inventory. You can ask them that how much do you have, and then you can update that on your website or you can keep a track of it. So yeah, but all the, you know, inventory management and everything, that's going to be the vendor's responsibility. And then you just want to communicate with them to ensure that they can restock if in case you're scaling very high and you're going to need more.
Oh, okay. Quite interesting. And then you also mentioned that there are refunds or returns involved. So does the service provider or the vendor lose money in such a case? Like at least in India.
Again, nice. You know, you're asking really nice questions here. So with refunds and exchanges, it depends. Right. If it is the customer's fault, you can actually tell the customer that, I'll give you an example. Let's say someone's ordered a t-shirt and someone says that I ordered a large, but you sent me a small. So whenever a customer places an order automatically from your store, now they will receive a confirmation email and which says this is a product that they ordered. So if in case a customer is saying, I ordered a large, but he actually ordered a small, you can prove it to him that this is what you ordered, a confirmation email. Of course, you know, in a very, very nice way, and say that no problem. You keep that product with you. If you want me to send you a large, could you please help me with the shipping cost? Or could you please help me with the product cost? Just one of these things. And that cost that you take from them is actually going to be what it takes you to buy and ship that product through your supplier. So this way, the customer is convinced that, okay, I made a mistake and they're not lying to me. And I get to keep this. Maybe I can gift this to someone else. And I'm just going to be paying, you know, 50% of the actual amount and getting the right product as well. So the customers are usually in 90% cases, they're happy with that. If they're not, then you just refund them, blah, blah. If it is the supplier's fault happens when, let's say, some quality issue arises or the product was not delivered at all. And the tracking information can help you see that, because when a supplier ships it, they give you a tracking number like we get from Amazon or whatever. So if that tracking number shows that the packet was lost or the packet was not delivered or it is stuck or whatever. So, you know, in that case, you go to the supplier and you ask them to fix it. Or let's say the customer send you a photo of the product that my design is peeling off or my size is not right or some thread is coming out. Or let's say this gadget is not working for me. It's not getting turned on. So you ask for a photo or a picture from the customer, send it to the supplier, and the supplier would be more than happy to reship the right product because they want business from you. If they don't serve you well, and if you don't serve your customers well, they don't grow. The supplier is not going to grow, right?
Yes.
So that's how we deal with that.
Oh, it's a give and take transaction in the end. So unless you don't give a quality product, people are not going to invest in your website. Oh,
correct.
Makes sense. So how much would you say is an initial investment to start something like this, start an e-commerce website, whether it's time or money?
So in terms of time, I would say that I can give you the averages, but I would never recommend anybody to get started with an e-com biz or any biz out there thinking that, you know, they're going to become profitable in X number of months or years, or they're going to, or let's say X number of months or after spending X amount of dollars or X amount of rupees, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I can definitely share the averages that we've seen with, you know, after working with people. It usually takes most of this money is going to get into advertising, because you're not spending anything for the product right now because you're dropshipping.
Right.
Creating the website, you can create the website yourself using a tool like Shopify. So Shopify charges you $29, which means 2,000, 2,100 rupees a month.
Okay.
And you can set up your own website and you don't really need to hire someone. So for like 2,000, 3,000 bucks a month, you can have your website all set up. No hosting needed, nothing else. That's one. Two, for the marketing, now most of your money goes into ads because you want to get traffic to your store. So most of the money goes there. So 40-50k to get started with INR is what I recommend. But you should also have a consistent source of income so that if in case, you know, something is not working out, you can put in the money back. Because maybe you're going to spend 40-50 and you're not profitable there. So what do you do? You know, so you should always have access to some money because you're building a business and you're bootstrapping it. You're not taking funding from anywhere. So either have your own money, a job or a business, whatever, or have access to money through, you know, family, friends or credit cards, whatever suits you. And how much time it takes, anyone can start building this by investing 2 hours a day. 1 or 2 hours a day is more than enough. Okay. Like I always tell my community, spend 2 hours before you sleep or 2 hours after you wake up, which is usually very difficult for people. But let's say 2 hours before you sleep. And that's good, you know, spending that much amount of time. And it takes people 5 to 6 months to usually get profitable. That's the average. I've seen people getting profitable in a month. I've also seen people not getting profitable in a year. You know, it. Everyone has a different journey. Everyone's born with a different taste and a different, you know, passion or whatever. So it depends. But yeah, I'm giving you the averages.
Oh, okay. So it's like 5 to 6 months, 50,000 and at least 2 hours of your time every day. That's the statistics. Okay. I mean, it's quite interesting and you have to be consistent, I guess. If you are not consistent,
very
then
consistent.
It is not going to
Nothing
work.
Works. Nothing works without consistency. Right.
But this dropshipping websites are now, are you catering to the Indian crowd at all or it's just US even now?
So for the dropshipping, so we call this model print on demand. I mean, it's dropshipping for print related stuff, print on demand. Mm-hmm. So for that, we're just doing US, mostly US and a little bit of UK, Australia, Canada. Mm-hmm. Very recently, we started a brand here in India, but that's nothing to do with dropshipping. It's a pure e-com apparel brand wherein we're manufacturing and, you know, doing everything ourselves. So now we are the supplier. So, you know, investing there and managing inventory, shipping ourselves, all of that. That brand we've started here in India as well, very recently. But otherwise, all the POD, all the dropship stuff happens abroad. There are a lot of people who dropship here in India as well. Mm-hmm. That's also a very good model. But the only downside is that you want to have a bigger startup capital because mostly people are going to be ordering through cash on delivery because they don't trust you. In US, there is no COD. They prepay you the money. So you're all cool that, okay, I already have the money in my bank. But here, they're going to offer COD. You have to pay for the product. You've got to pay for the shipment in advance. Then when that product gets delivered and accepted, you get that COD, that cash from your supplier, from your fulfillment partner, from your shipping partner after 5, 6, 7, 8 days.
Right.
So this means that to maintain your cash flow, you need a little more, a considerable amount of investment. But yeah, that's a good model as well.
Oh, nice. So the apparel company that you started, so you design as well from scratch?
Yes. So yes, everything, you know, so from sourcing the fabric to, you know, thinking about how the design is going to be, you know, every logistical thing involved in the level of production. Yes, we take care of it. And then the delivery part. And in India, you also want to call people to confirm their orders. So all of that we do in-house.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the designs are basically based on the trends, if I'm not wrong. Trends or how do you get inspired?
Nice question. So when we started off, it used to depend a lot on seeing what's working for other people. I'll be very honest, you know, seeing what's already working for the big shots.
Right.
And then you take inspiration from there and you're like, let me create something similar. Let me create something better. I'll never copy anybody, but I'll try and create something similar and better through my designer. So I'll give a screenshot and I'll say, change this, change that, change the color or change this word, blah, blah. So I'm going to do that. That's how we started. But eventually when you grow and when you start seeing what's working for you, you eventually want to get deeper into a niche. Like, let's say, just to give you an example, let's say I start a podcast and this podcast is about digital marketing. Mm-hmm. Now, digital marketing is very broad. Maybe I'm going to realize, okay, in digital marketing, SEO is what I'm really good at, or SEO is what my people want. Then in SEO, I go deeper into on-page SEO or whatever, you know? So eventually when you start, you realize that this is the category of people I love serving and the category of people who love buying products from me. So let me dive deeper. So when you get into a niche, the overall approach changes. Now you talk to your customers, you do research in that niche, or you start coming up with your own stuff so that you can have the early mover advantage and stuff. So yeah, that's how we approach the entire research part.
I like your perspective. I mean, usually what people do is they get inspired by a lot of things around them and then they experiment, trial and error, and then figure out what they like. But finding a niche also helps. This is
correct.
A nice perspective. So, well, I already know the answer to this question, but I'm still going to ask you because I want to know what is your take on it. So you've helped a lot of businesses grow mainly in the t-shirt design segment. This is a question that most of the people ask themselves. Why should I do something that so many others are doing? You know, will I be successful in such a scenario? That is the question everybody asks. What do you think?
You know what? Yeah, really good question. So a lot of times people, yes, they do ask this question that why should I do this when so many people are already doing it, when so many people have already got success with it or whatever, there's so much market competition. What am I going to do differently? I don't understand that. Why don't people ask this question when they go to school or when they go to college? I don't understand that because, you know, we've been conditioned in a way that going to school is a must. It's like breathing or going to college and paying lakhs and lakhs of rupees in school. And then people go to IIMs, they work so freaking hard. They work so hard and then they, you know, take loans to pay 15, 20 lakh rupees in IIMs and IITs, whatever. People don't ask this question, you know, when that comes up. But when it comes to going, you know, taking the path, this is the road which is less traveled by, they ask themselves this question, right? So first of all, people should understand that why. I mean, you've been doing so much that everyone's been doing. Where are you right now? I mean, if you're thinking of doing something differently, it simply means that you're not happy, you know, about where you are in life right now. It could be about your health. It could be about your relationships. It could be about your money, you know, your career, your professional life, whatever. So you want to ask yourself, why shouldn't I be asking myself this question? And an answer to that is very simple. I'm not going to give you, like, every person can have a different answer. But even if so many people are already doing it, every person has their own way to do it differently. Like, I'm going to give you some examples. Let's talk about e-commerce. Let's talk about automobiles. There are so many automobile brands out there. Yeah. There are a limited set of people in the world. But there's Tesla. Then in India, let's talk about Tata. There's Tata, there's Toyota, there's Maruti Suzuki. Then there's MG Hector has entered. So there are so many car brands out there. Yeah. Everyone starts from the basics. Everyone knows ki a car is going to have four tires and then a steering wheel and gear. That's the basic. Everyone starts there. But eventually, as they grow, they niche out into doing something of their own. How do they figure that out? They figure that out by actually getting into the business after talking to customers, after getting feedback, or maybe being creative. Because every person is different. Every person thinks differently. Every person behaves differently. Every person understands the statistics and the market differently. So, and the longer time you spend in your space, the more creative you get. So even if a ton of people are doing e-com, like Amazon is a multi-billion dollar company. Walmart is also a multi-billion dollar company. Flipkart is really big. Snapdeal is really big. ShopClues is really big. Myntra is very big. And all of these guys pretty much sell the same set of products.
Correct.
What is unique about them? I mean, think about it. But still, there is some unique. Now, you open Amazon, you're going to have a brand feel there. Amazon is known for what? Customer service, fast delivery. You open Myntra. Now, Myntra is more of fashion. So, you know, Myntra is all about fashion and the trendy, the chicks and, you know, the handsome hunks and all of that. So, that's a different brand feel altogether. Yeah. Flipkart, different feel. So, it all drills down to you believing in yourself that, listen, dude, I am different. I have my own story. I have my own experiences. I am very unique. So why can't my brand be unique? Because always remember this, guys, that your brand or your business is always going to be a reflection of you. It's as simple as that. If you're someone who's really good with people, your brand will serve people really well. If you're really good with numbers, your brand's finances and accounting is going to be very clear. So it all drills down to that. If that answers the question.
Yes, yes, it definitely does. See, I knew the answer, but I wanted to know your perspective because it was completely different, right? Because mostly people just give, I have heard this answer before, but I wanted to know what your take was on it. So while you were talking, you also mentioned something called research and development when you were talking about the automobile industry, right? So what kind of R&D did you do before you found your niche and became who you are today?
Nice question. Quite honestly, I'm someone who learns after doing stuff. I'm not a genius. A lot of times people do, people dive really deep and they do a lot of research and then they think that I'm going to get into this niche. But I believe because it's very unpredictable, you can't really judge by just thinking. You learn the real stuff when you're actually out there. It's very easy to, you know, be behind the fence or in the audience and comment on cricket aise khel ya back foot pe khelo ya aise goal ho jata. But then the person who's actually hitting that, I mean, that's the person who understands it, right?
Right.
So in the same way, the approach that works for us and the same approach that I share with people, just get into the market and test whatever is working for everyone else. Add your own twist to it when you start, or just create something similar and better and test it out. Then when you test it out, trust the numbers. See that what product of yours is selling really well. Mm-hmm. What kind of people are buying from you? That maybe you started thinking that a lot of men from US who are 20, in their 20s are going to buy from you. But then when you actually started advertising and marketing, you realized that no, women who are 40 to 50 and who have children are buying from me more. So everything changes. So that's how we started, you know, and that's our main target audience as well.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our customers are women in US who are 40 to 50, 40 to 55 years old.
Right.
We also know the states that where these women come from. So that's what you realize after you get into it. And that's when we, you know, kept on going further and we found a niche. And mm-hmm. then we just started experimenting in that niche. And that niche has actually got us most of our success. But we didn't begin with that niche. In fact, we right. even tested that niche out very, I mean, maybe what, 2.5 years back. Mm-hmm. And eventually we were like, dude, this is what we're going to stick to. It's going to be simple and let's just focus on this.
Okay. So trial and error it is. As long as you have the confidence and jump into it, everything works out fine.
Absolutely.
So what wisdom would you like to share with the listeners who haven't found their passion project yet and are confused as to what they should do next?
Nice. I've always had this question with my own self as well. You know, what am I passionate about?
Right.
You know, you read books like Ikigai and you create those four circles. what I'm good at, what makes me happy, what I love, what the world needs and all of that.
Right.
I think all of that is okay, it's fine, but I think it all drills down to figuring out that what really makes you happy. If there's so much that you've done in your career, in your personal life, professional life. So if there's anything that you can also monetize, just get into it and start experimenting. A lot of times people waste a lot of time in thinking that mm-hmm. what they should be doing or what they're good at. And then they also think that why they shouldn't be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So just stop your thinking. Don't respond to that. Mental that mechanism that goes on that why you shouldn't be doing something. I'll tell you how the mind works. So the mind, this is how the mind works, right? When you try to do something which you've never done or something that's outside your comfort zone, the mind will stop you from doing it because the mind wants to protect you, you know,
yes.
the subconscious mind, whatever it wants to protect you. So let it be, you know, let it settle and then just give it a shot, try it out. And then when you try it out, you're going to realize that what you thought it would be like and what it is, what it actually is going to be very different. So I think for me, it's all about trial and error. Create a list of things. This is what my one of my really good friends did it. He creates a list of things that he thinks he should be doing, like mm-hmm. 10, 20 things. And then one by one, he dedicates a couple of months to everything. So
wow.
Let's say number one thing is this. So he's going to do, you know, dedicate 3 to 4 months to do that. If it works, great. If it does not, let it be. I'm going to move on to the next one. So that's how he does it. Now, this is how you can actually identify the career direction or whatever, the passion direction that you want to be moving in. You're going to know only after trying. But a lot of times, people are just going to, you know, sit on the fence and, aise nahi hota hai. Like, things don't work like that. You want to move your, you know, you want to move your butts. You want to start moving and start acting. Action is what will help you take, which will take you closer to your passion or whatever is really important for you. Boredom and laziness and thinking, overthinking will not really take you places.
I'm one of the overthinkers. So when I started this podcast, I had a friend around who told me, it's your podcast. If you post it and you don't like it later on, you can delete it. So it really doesn't matter. And that is what I remembered when you told this. Like, just jump into it, try it out. You don't know which direction it is going to take you. I'm right
Correct.
Here, right now. I had not imagined I would be talking to you. So, well,
yeah.
things work
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Coming to the final question, this I ask everybody on the podcast, so I'm asking you as well. What does the phrase being settled mean to you, Beta?
I think being settled means when you feel satisfied. I think it's all about that. So I just got married in January, like six months back. So I had this question. I used to ask myself this question, and then when I told my parents about my then girlfriend, which is my wife today, so they asked me this question, do you feel you're settled? I mean, andar se, forget about the money, forget about everything else. So it all drills down to you. I mean, the society has a very different definition of being settled, you know. If you, and trust me, even if you do exactly what they say, they're never going to be happy for you. For some people, settlement is going to be like a very good job, making 2 lakh rupees a month, let's say. But then the people who are actually making 2 lakh rupees a month and have passed out from IIMs and MBAs and stuff, you talk to them, you're going to realize they don't feel settled at all. So, and the same applies with businesses. A lot of times you will feel that if this person is running $1 million business, this person would be all sorted. It does not work like that. Everyone has their own shit to deal with. No one's all sorted. Everyone has problems. So I think it all drills down to you asking yourself, do I feel satisfied? Do I feel happy? Yeah, maybe some things are wrong with my business, with my job. Maybe some things are wrong with, let's say, I'm not really able to do everything that I want for my health, but am I satisfied in this moment? I mean, do I feel happy? Do you feel that? I mean, do I feel that, I'm excited about something? If you feel that way, I think you're settled. I mean, you're already settled. Settlement does not really require you to have or possess something. It's just an acceptance of your own self and an acceptance of what's already there in front of you in the present.
Completely agree. Being unsettled is being settled. As long as you accept change, accept whatever is going to happen, things work out fine.
Yeah. You're right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So these were my questions for you. And that concludes this episode. So I would just like to say you are like the Ranchod Das Chanchod of e-commerce and dropshipping market, you know. Ki, success ke piche mat bhago, excellence ke piche bhago. So kamyabi jhak maar ke tumhare piche aayegi. That is what you've done, and you've become this persona that you are today. And if anybody wants to join Digital Dukandar, how do they get in touch with you?
So you guys can hit me up on Instagram. Just hit me up and we'll take care of you. We'll recommend the right direction for you. So yeah, that's what I would say. Maybe just add the Instagram link somewhere in the description so that people can just send a message. So I think that's it. You know, that's the best way to at least get a direction from us.
Okay, done. So I will be adding all the links in the description and you can get in touch with him whenever you want. And that's it for me. Thank you so much, Nishkarsh. Thank you for coming on the episode. It has been really interesting understanding so much about e-commerce. We were just shoppers before, but now we are more aware of the things that happen backstage. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hi. If you can hear this, that means you have reached the end of the episode. So like, share, subscribe, follow, stay tuned to Unsettling. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can always reach out to me on my Instagram page, AmritaSukumar_Unsettling, or send me an email on podcast.unsettling.as@gmail.com. Hope to hear from you soon. Bye.